Anyways.
Yeah, so.
Hi, my name is Caleb, also known as XXFrost42.
And I'm Jay.
And welcome back to Just Another White Dudes Podcast. What was that jingle we had like half written for it?
I don't know. I just did some wild stallions type shit.
So Jason, how was your day today?
My day was fine. Went to work. I got home really late last night because I have two jobs right now. So I'm making money, but it's a little bit tough. I was out till like midnight, I think is when I got home, and then I had a shower and stuff. So I didn't go to bed till like 1:30. So waking up was like a little bit tough, but I got caffeinated.
We were both late to work today.
Yeah, we both woke up at like 7:50, and we're 10 minutes away from work. We're like, damn. I've pulled worse for my other job, but
yeah,
it's a different scenario there.
Yeah.
Well, how's your day? My bad.
For those that don't know our format, our skeleton script is right here, and he already fucked it up.
But you know.
Anyways, my day was okay.
I'm glad.
Went to work late. Went to work.
went to work late.
Work was fine. I did nothing the entire day like I normally do because I'm a semi-supervisor, so who needs to work when you're a supervisor, you know,
right?
Make all your workers do it for you.
Yeah, they won't pay me, but...
It's capitalism or something.
Capitalism, man. Learned how much health insurance is going to cost, and I'm like, man, I'm going to become a slave to capitalism, pick up another day at McDonald's, you know?
And then after work, I went to the post office and dropped off a giveaway gift for one of our viewers. Shout out to Konske Max over in Sweden.
Shout out to Max.
Get some sleep, buddy.
Get some melatonin. I got some right here if you need it, bro.
Went to the post office, dropped off his giveaway, and then I went and worked out. Got that good pump going right now.
Tell us about the grind.
Feeling fit as fuck. Yeah. But yeah. So Jason, how was it? No, I'm not kidding.
I think I already went over that.
So what are we talking about today, JJ?
Last week? Oh shit, it was the week before.
Technically, it was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was actually a long time ago. We had talked about we're gonna go see Black Widow. We saw that following day, like the next day. That was about 2 weeks ago. So we're getting to a little bit later than we thought we were going to, but we are talking about Black Widow again. Since we've seen the movie, talking about our opinions and stuff, we're going to talk about whatever the fuck that Cardinals game was that when they lost to the Cubs, blew a 6-point lead or 5-point lead. Talk about Caleb's streaming career. One of our guys back in the Discord was like interested, want to hear more about it.
Corp Cub,
the man. We're going to talk about that. And then I'm going to start talking about music stuff. No mental health corner today. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. yeah, we're going to talk about My Chemical Romance and all the history behind them and our opinions on the music and stuff.
Cool. Not like people have never talked about My Chemical Romance. They're a little bit underground. I don't think anybody's heard of them.
I mean, it's not like they're created one of the most recognized rock operas of the fucking...
Let me get the melodica. And here comes the copyright claim.
Let me get the melodica.
So yeah, let's get into fucking Black Widow. So I gave it a 6 out of 10 on the excitement scale. And just going right off the bat, it fell fine into that. My final review was like a 5 out of 10.
Yeah. Increasing points.
And it's not because we're men scared of like powerful women figures. It's because for me personally, I just didn't want another like backtracking movie. I wanted it to be something that pushes the story forward more, and the only like forward push we really got was the end credit scene.
Yeah, that like contributes to ties into Falcon Winter Soldier or whatever, but that's
yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
But I mean, from like an actual like movie standpoint, I mean, like it was fine. Like the pacing was good. I enjoyed the jokes. Supporting cast was great.
Dan Harbor, bro.
Dan Harbor.
Florence Pugh. You ever like really forceful with it?
But from like just like a normal movie standpoint, yeah. I mean, it was fine. It was a good movie. I've already watched it twice, so
that's true. Yeah,
you saw. It's not like I hate it. It's definitely a good movie, and I really enjoy watching it. But just from like a story standpoint, I don't think it was really necessary right now.
Yeah,
I think it was necessary like 5 years ago.
Yeah, wish we would have gotten it like after Civil War or something.
Yeah,
rather than when it came out,
because it's based after Civil War. So
when you say spoilers,
that's not really a spoiler. That's not a spoiler. That's just kind of like, I mean, it's not like it's based after an Endgame.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Everyone already knows about what happened in Endgame, so it's not like we have to worry about that.
Yeah. I didn't want like another backtracking thing in it, because like all of like the high stake moment stuffs that happened in the movie just kind of felt weightless, because it's like, we already know what happens. Like, we know that she dies. Yeah. And we know that she's alive after this point in time, so
you already know before you see the movie that it's not going to like advance any, like it's going to be a backstory, because it has to be, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not going to be anything new or interesting. It's just going to be something that contributes to whatever, or you know what I mean,
stuff that's already happened.
Yeah. I think it's totally like a sidebar, but okay. Captain Marvel, I feel like it was a backstory or whatever. It take place in the 80s. It wasn't like advancing the story necessarily, but at the same time, you're introducing someone that was really important to Endgame, and really important to like introducing the Skrulls and introducing like more cosmic space stuff. Like,
we'll keep up my phone up.
Yeah, sure. But
my phone's almost dead.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. But you know, even though Captain Marvel was a backstory, it still helped contribute to what the MCU was going to become. I guess, you know what I mean. It's just, but you know, Black Widow didn't really do that. It was just, you know, giving more about Black Widow if you want to see more Black Widow.
Right. And rehashing like the points that I made in the previous podcast, it was like I was excited just to see more about Black Widow, because I don't really know her well as a character.
No comics knowledge or anything like that.
Yeah. So it was cool actually finally getting the knowledge that I've been looking for what feels like forever now.
Yeah.
Because it's like they never really gave any insight in any of the MCU movies up until obviously the backstory.
Yeah. I mean, you get stuff like Age of Ultron, which talks about, and like, they delves into her past more because all the Scarlet Witch stuff, and like how she, her connection with Bruce, and how they like talk about how they both feel out of place or whatever.
Right.
You know, you get stuff like that, but you don't get as much as you get in this movie, which is a lot more. And it is interesting, like, kind of. It's kind of cool to see like more information about her that we don't know.
But yeah, definitely on a, what this contributed to, the storyline of the MCU, it definitely gets a 5 out of 10 for me. Which falls in line with my excitement scale of 6 out of 10.
Approximately, yes.
So, like I said, it fits into the normal bell curve of what I expected it to be.
Yeah.
So, but it's still good. I recommend seeing it, because the end credit scene, oh, we're not going to spoil it, obviously. But
yeah,
it is pretty important. It sets up some newer stuff, but like I said, that's the only thing that really pushes the story forward.
Yeah, I think I agree with you a lot on that. Like, I really do like the comedy. I really do like the supporting characters. I really do like that family dynamic. There's some really like cute scenes. I like them. For some reason, the two that really stick out are like that opening credit scene with like the Nirvana song when they're singing. What was that?
The fighting pose.
Oh, yeah. like the landing pose where they
flip. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the opening credit scene where it does the Nirvana song. Like, that's pretty neat. And then the American Nirvana Pie.
It smells like Teen Spirit, bro.
Yeah, you know.
The Nirvana song.
Hate to spoil it, but yeah, it's a...
It's on TikTok, bro. It ain't a spoiler.
It's on TikTok?
Yeah, but people didn't use it as a sound.
I haven't seen it. That's funny.
You don't go on TikTok.
I'm not on TikTok enough anymore. No, I need to catch up. But yeah, that scene, the opening scene with Smells Like Teen Spirit, and then the scene with, like, American Pie, how they keep alluding to that. Like, that's some really cute stuff. And the comedy's really funny, and sometimes it gets in the way of some more emotional moments, I think. But I still think it made me laugh, which I don't think a lot of MCU movies, like, make me laugh out loud.
Like, effectively make me laugh out loud.
Yeah. Love Florence Pugh, love David Harbour. Taskmaster was cool, but disappointing as shit. Like, I understand if people are really mad about it, but I do think it was kind of cool just to see a variation of it. Hopefully, get a much better one in the future, you know what I mean? sometimes that happens. You know, you get a shitty rendition of one character. You get Daredevil with Ben Affleck, and then you get the Netflix show.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just gotta give it time. We'll see a good Taskmaster eventually.
Yeah, I was really excited for Taskmaster, and I feel like they did a good job portraying them in the movie, but kind of just, like, again, like, I don't want to spoil anything, but kind of like the ending was very lackluster. It felt very snuggly happy, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't expect that from such a badass character.
Yeah, yeah. The ending before the end credits, like the actual ending of the movie,
yeah,
you know, it ends with her because it's a Civil War. It takes place right after Civil War, and then it shows you, like, how she ends up leaving the Sokovia Accords. How she kind of, like, abandons that whole stuff and, like, becomes an outlaw or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know that's going to happen at the end, but you assume that because it's a Black Widow movie, it might be a little bit darker and you might see, but, you know, it ended very cozy to not spoil anything. But,
yeah,
like you said, good word for it.
I was talking more about Taskmaster, but that also does apply to the general theme of
the movie. Wow, totally, like...
I was talking about Taskmaster, about how they ended Taskmaster's character... in that film.
Yeah, my bad. I totally went off on a tangent.
But it still applies. It still applies.
Yeah.
But, because it's like, our boss is a really big Marvel and comic book fanatic, and he was thoroughly upset with what they did with Taskmaster.
Yeah.
Because apparently, like, Taskmaster is, like, on the same level of, like, worldly threat as, like, Thanos. Yeah. And...
Taskmaster in
what's
the comics.
What's the other dude? The
like
Galactus.
Yeah. But not like a cosmic threat or whatever, but like as far as like the like normal people, quote unquote, like supervillains go, he's super, you know, a like, super big threat. Because he knows everybody's powers. Like he can do anything that anyone else can do, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Skrulls, but if they were like one guy.
You keep mentioning the Skrulls, and I have yet to watch.
The most I know about the Skrulls is from Marvel's Capcom, because
okay.
I think you can play Super Skrull or something, and he has, like, all the Fantastic Four's powers or some shit like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, the Skrulls can turn into other people. Like, that's their thing. If you watch, like, Captain Marvel, you'll see the Skrulls. And
okay.
They can make themselves look like people or whatever. And then at the end of Far From Home, there's that end credit scene.
Yeah.
Where you see that people are Skrulls, and Skrulls are, you know, pretend to be people. I'm not going to say who it was, but...
I think it's been long enough for Far From Home.
It's okay, though. We're
not going
to. Don't worry. We got you. For the guy that's behind, because it's not Disney Plus yet, we got you, bro.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Exactly, yeah.
None of the Spider-Man movies are on Disney Plus yet, right?
No, and I think, like, maybe the original Sam Raimi stuff is streaming on, like, Hulu or something, but I think it might be, like, the first one.
Okay. I know what I'm watching tonight.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, my God. Dude, wait a minute. I just, like, I'm about to get on my PS3. We're going to put in the DVD player. Like... Watch that in 480p, bro.
So off topic from Black Widow, because I feel like we've kind of said what we need to say about Black Widow.
Yeah, comedy's good, you know, supporting cast, whatever.
But Marvel in general right now, pretty freaking hyped for it. Deadpool.
Oh gosh, the Korg thing. That was...
Deadpool and Korg.
Okay, yeah, I really want to talk about Loki, but let's talk about this too. The fucking fact that...
I don't watch Loki yet, though.
I know, we'll just talk about how we're excited for it. Apparently this... But we'll get into it. Because we haven't seen it yet, so we won't talk about it. But the fact you don't get, like, you know, we all really want to see, like, a Spider-Man and Deadpool thing where they kind of cross over. We really want to see Deadpool, like, maybe just show up in some random dude's movie or TV show. Like, we've all been idolizing, like, how are they going to introduce Deadpool? Like, are they just going to cold open, just do Deadpool 3 and, like, rated R Disney movie? You know, like...
Rated R Disney movies!
It's so crazy, dude. But... like, you know, we've been wondering for a long time, like, how are they going to introduce Deadpool and the X-Men? And then they introduce him by putting him on fucking TikTok. And it's not, like, Disney's TikTok. It's not, like,
it's Ryan Reynolds'
TikTok. It's on the celebrity who plays Deadpool's TikTok.
I think
it's so left, like, no one... It's almost, like, so hard. It's so stupid that you're not even going to figure it out. But for some reason, everyone's been spreading it around, and now, like, everyone knows. But
I think we just made so many, like, logical headcanons that Disney just had to be, like, TikTok.
Yeah, like, you know, that's a bunch of great ideas, guys. Like, how we can make his own movie and how we can put him in, like, Spider-Man and do all that stuff. But we're just going to put him on TikTok with Taika Waititi. Yeah, Taika Waititi's rock guy.
Rock dude.
Who is fucking Gio?
Not the rock. Not the rock. Fucking Gio dude. I guess he is Gio.
He's a Geo dude.
I guess he is a Geo dude.
He is not. He's not the Pokemon Geo dude, but he is a Geo dude.
Fucking hate you.
I'm in the podcast. I can't do it.
That's it. All right. Goodbye. All right.
It's a fucking great way to introduce him. It's so funny in left field, and I think it's hilarious. Even though I kind of wish we would see him in a real. Well, we'll see him in real movies.
Well, yeah.
I think he'll be like a Stan Lee thing, where they kind of just cameo in him for a few. Man, I'm so looking forward
to it. I don't know if it's something we came up with or if it was our boss that came up with it, but he was like, I would love for Ryan Reynolds to cameo as Ryan Reynolds in only Deadpool, in like in things that Deadpool is in.
Yeah. And not even like in the whole MCU. It's not like a Stan Lee thing, but it's just whenever there's a Deadpool movie, you have to see Ryan Reynolds in it playing himself.
Well, I want to see Ryan Reynolds anyway.
Yeah, but for sure. Always. Like, how, why wouldn't you want to see Tony? It's going to be a meme face. Like, why wouldn't you want to see Ryan Reynolds?
But no, I just have this idea in my head that Deadpool kills an innocent bystander in some accident, and it happens to just be Ryan Reynolds, and Deadpool just comes up to him like,
I killed Ryan Reynolds.
And then I know this, it's too out of the, like, too out of the blue, but I'd like to imagine, like, he kills Ryan Reynolds on the street, and he just Thanos dusts away like Deadpool does.
Like fucking like Deadpool does. What do you mean?
Like, you get snapped out of existence, you know, but he kills Ryan Reynolds. So if you kill Ryan Reynolds can't act as Deadpool, you know.
So Deadpool just disappears. Like, it's not gonna happen. That's like a Funnier Die video or something like that. Like, that wouldn't actually happen.
But right, that's what I was saying. Just think that'd be funny as shit, dude.
Cracking up. Oh my god, dude. We're gonna have to bust through every other point that we have because we just took up.
I actually love Deadpool, and I've been collecting his comics recently. There's a
comic run.
I have them all under my desk, right here.
I mean, our boss was also talking about him.
It's in here. you got like 13 Deadpool comics in here, which is a lot. I know for comic book collectors that's nothing, but for me that's a lot because I've never had it before.
For sure, it's still a new hobby of ours. I am like,
we need to get back into it.
I need to finish reading Moon Knight really bad.
You haven't finished reading Moon Knight?
I haven't read the last one because it's just too much pressure now. You know what I mean? But yeah, Deadpool is really fucking cool. Loki, we both haven't seen yet, but I'm hearing that it's blowing people's minds with like how it's making the MCU exciting again and like introducing a bunch of stuff.
You put an explosion effect.
Fucking that. Loki.
but like really shitty. Just.
No. And then.
like a little smoke puff.
Oh, I
that's not getting edited out. That's content,
dude. You can't. You don't understand. This is gonna be so fucking funny. I am just okay. But yeah, Loki looks really cool. I really need to finish it. I'm on episode 3 right now. I know you haven't started, but the first two episodes already fucking so good.
Hey everyone, this is Caleb. I'd like to take a break from the podcast to talk about today's sponsor, Raise Energy. Raise makes some delicious energy drinks that I recommend checking out. They are zero calorie with no added dyes or artificial sweeteners. My favorite would have to be the Baja Lime, which you can find in variety pack number 3. It tastes like a Baja Blast, but with a little bit of extra coconut. Go to repsports.com and use code FROST42 for 15% off your checkout. That's REPPSPORTS.com and use code FROST42 at checkout. Thanks, y'all.
Sponsored by Mountain Dew. Like, that is fucking.
St. Louis Cardinals. St. Louis Cardinals make me want to.
So don't get demonetized, just point at it.
This is Farfield.
Farfield,
it's canon. So yeah, the St. Louis Cardinals drive me fucking crazy. They completely just blew my mind with their ineptitude at baseball last night. So I'm watching this baseball game yesterday. Going fantastic. Johan Oviedo is having like a textbook pitching outing, which is good because he hasn't had a major league win yet.
Yeah.
And he does his job. He gets through five innings. And then we go to all our relievers in the sixth. And relievers hold the ship down until the ninth inning. Okay, you know, the last inning in every baseball game, unless it's a doubleheader. The very last inning, the Cardinals are up 6-1 against the Chicago Cubs.
Yep.
Ooh, I'm so burpy.
the fucking Mountain Dew.
So it's 6-1 in the top of the ninth. It's the Cubs' last at bat. If they don't score 5-6-1.
Yeah. As long as they don't score 5 points.
If they don't score 5 points at the end of the game, because 5 will tie it, 6 will win it. Mm-hmm. So the Cubs decide they're going to put 6 on us. and you can honestly chalk it up to Yadier Molina not really blocking the last strikeout slider thrown by Garcia.
Mm-hmm. Some people blame Garcia, saying like, you know, need to throw strikes. We've been saying
it was a strike. It was an official strikeout. But with baseball, if the catcher drops the ball on strike number 3, the runner has the ability to run to first base and get on base.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what happened. Strike 3, Yadier misses the ball. Runner gets on. Should have been a strikeout, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
So that's error number 1,
as they call it.
And I'm probably not the best authority to talk about exactly what happened because I was on a phone call with my girlfriend. But I get all these notifications all at one time. Like, Cubs are up 3-5. Cubs are 3-5. Mm-hmm. And then they're 4-5. And now they're 7-5. I'm like, what?
And now
they're 7-6. I kept saying 5. Oops.
Yeah, right.
I tell my girlfriend, like, hey, give me a second. I gotta pull up this game real quick. I wish I didn't. So after Garcia starts to get fatigued and isn't producing as much as he probably should, they bring in our all-star closer, Alex Reyes. He had 24 saves on the season, which means, and 24 from his start of his career. He has not blown a save opportunity since he started playing in the major leagues.
Damn right.
So he comes in. The bases get loaded. I don't know if they were loaded before Reyes came in. Reyes came in or not. But he walks 2 batters and walks in 2 runs, which is horrible. You never want to walk in a run because that's just giving them free runs.
Yeah.
It's not competing. And then next thing I know, Javi Baez hits a double. Puts the Cubs within 1 run of tying. And then Ian Happ hits a liner down the line. And a liner is like a hit. The ball is hit on the straight.
Oh, okay. Now I get you.
Down one of the foul lines. Mm-hmm. hits a ball down the line. And puts the Cubs on top. So the Cardinals have to come in on the bottom of the ninth when they shouldn't have been. That should have been the end of the game in the top of the ninth.
Yeah, no shit.
So the Cardinals try to come back. They don't. They lose. Catastrophic failure. Yep. I am so mad. Mike Schilt completely blew his
fucking
Mike Schilt completely blew his press conference after it. He blew up on a reporter just for asking a question. Talking about, like, well, it's not your job to make the decisions, it's my job.
Act like a piss baby, but like, not the kind of piss baby that you hear on the Acclaimed Jam podcast, like another piss baby, like an actual piss baby. He's not on the piss baby scale, he's just a piss baby.
So Cardinals blow a 5-run lead in the last at bat against the opposing team. Mm-hmm. Cardinals had hella momentum coming into the second half. They won a series against the Giants, and then they won two nights ago's game. Yeah. So they're they're doing good in the second half, and then they were slated to win last game, and then they just decided they didn't know how to play baseball.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of feeling pessimistic about the second half of the year. Hopefully the trade deadline comes. Maybe the Cardinals will be buyers. They'll buy someone. Or
hope so.
the most likely scenario is that they're just going to hold. They're not going to buy or sell. They're just kind of going to coast for the rest of the season. Which sucks because I'd like the team I'm supporting, the team whose hat I'm wearing, the team who I have three jerseys and two shirts from.
The team that's the reason that I'm getting into MLB.
I would love for them to not just say, here we go, good to go. We're just gonna make it through.
How do you think I feel? The team's colors are like perfect for my complexion. I can't wear those colors anymore because they're embarrassing themselves.
Yeah. can of badger. Gotta say about the Cardinals, I'm definitely not happy. They're playing again tonight. Actually, they started 3 minutes ago.
We're going this late.
it is in fact 8:18 p.m. on July 21, one day after my birthday.
We were going to start sooner. It's also been going on for 30 minutes already.
That's fine. well, we had like 5 minutes there where you decided to go piss and go get drink.
Check out the bonus episode on our Patreon.
We don't have a Patreon. There's no bonus episode.
But maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Look at the camera. One day.
That's the thumbnail. So, viewer suggestion. Corb Cobb on the Discord server. The man himself. asked me to talk about my streaming career. Basically, where I started. Kind of like the middle point where I am now.
This is the second time that we both started a section with our drinks, just feeling like, so like a very hard reset. sorry, my bad.
So I guess to start off, I've always had an infatuation, I guess. I've always wanted to be a content creator. It kind of started with watching Sky Does Minecraft videos.
That's a 5-syllable word. It just took me that long to count it. But good job. That's a 5-syllable word.
Which one?
Infatuation. Oh. It took me that long to count how many syllables it was.
My hair stick? No, that's just my fucking wrinkly-ass forehead.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, I guess my infatuation with content creation started when I was a young lad who just received his first Samsung Galaxy Tab 3 or whatever it was.
I got a Google Nexus. Yeah. Nexus 7.
I got on YouTube and started watching this creator named Skydas Minecraft Tobias.
Tobuscus?
Tobias. I don't know. Tobuscus. I don't remember. He's a dude from irrelevant
Gumball?
he's irrelevant now.
he's like a piece of shit or something. He's an a-hole.
Bajan Canadian. All of those fellas.
ASF, you know. Jerome. Team Craft, dude, man.
Yeah, all of those fellas. I thought they were funny. Mm-hmm. As funny as a 13-year-old or 10-year-old.
We were like so long. Seven. That's like seventh grade. Like, yeah, 12 years old.
But yeah, as funny as a seventh grader can think, only a 7-year-old.
that's a little bit too early. That's what my brother was interested.
As funny as a seventh grader can find content creation.
Do you know how bad that was, having a 5-year gap and everybody got a tablet?
Yeah.
How fucking.
But yeah, it started with those guys. I thought they were cool, and I was like, I want to do that. I love Minecraft.
I think they encouraged a lot of kids to like want to do anything like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you had people that were more like vlog style, and you know, I think that era of it all, and like how our generation grew up with that stuff, is really influencing what we want to do.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants to be a content creator. Everyone wants to be creative, and you know, make YouTube videos or get views on TikTok. Like, everybody wants it. We kind of set this stage for ourselves.
So I've always had this idea of like, oh, I'm going to be a content creator one day. I don't know what I'm going to do, whether I be playing Minecraft Let's Plays or Twitch streaming. This, I guess, that was kind of before Twitch really became a thing.
You know, it was like YouTube live streams.
Yeah.
Twitch was kind of small, but there was another.
But I was like, I know I'm going to do content creation. Like, that is something that I will be doing. And I tried many times throughout the years. It started off with me setting up my tablet in front of my 22-inch television where I would play Minecraft Xbox 360 edition.
And record yourself.
And record the screen. Right? And of course, it's like 360p because it's a shitty tablet. Dude. And I didn't have a capture card or anything. And what I had to do is I had to get, you know, that the little dresser thing that's still sitting in your truck.
Yeah.
I took that and stacked a bunch of shoe boxes up, and then on the top I would, because I had like one of the fold cases, so I would prop it up and I'd put a shoe right here so it fits straight up.
Yeah,
that's how I used to record my stuff. And I got like 30 videos in, and then my parents were like, "You don't do that,
please."
that's not a good idea, because the internet bad. This is when everybody thought the internet was still completely unsafe, and if you talk to anybody on it, it's probably an old man. It probably still is.
Yeah, but like, I mean, was there still a lot of people that believe?
That's when people were a lot more like vigilant of it. So my parents were like, "You're too young, no do." So they made me delete all of them.
Did you actually put them online?
Yeah, they're on YouTube.
Yeah, I remember.
I had like 50 subscribers at one point. I used to get like 4 views a video, like average. But that was cool to me. I was like, yeah. Oh my god, I put something on the internet, people are watching it. Like, bro, that's so cool.
It really was. I mean, I remember me and Casey, my sister, did the same thing where like we would get like my skateboard, we would get a shoebox, we would get another shoebox, we would get a pillow, and then we put like 2 action figures and hold up the tablet, and then we record the screen, and we'd like hop in the corners and be like, "What's up, guys?"
Yeah.
What's up, guys? Terrifying. But,
what's up, guys, came from?
New thumbnail. But yeah, I think we're both. next podcast, How I Met Your Mother podcast. But yeah, I remember doing the same thing. I remember eventually like having a computer when I got into like 9th grade, or I think it was like late 8th grade, and I had like pirated some like recording software, and I put YouTube videos out and like playing Minecraft with me and my friend, and that was the coolest shit ever.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people, I keep tying back into how we kind of all grew up with this stuff and all wanted to create and have an audience and stuff like that.
And then in high school, I actually tried to do podcasting. Not gonna get into that too much.
Name drop it. Fine. YouTube. Nah.
No, all of them are okay. No.
Oh yeah, fair enough. It's all private.
Yeah. And that's on my personal YouTube. It's not even on my,
that's true, yeah,
my business YouTube. Business. Business. And then in my sophomore year of high school, I decided, I was like, you know what? Maybe like gaming videos aren't it. I'll do like these short like tidbit podcast, because those were popular at the time, like the 10-minute, 15-minute podcast.
Yeah. It's kind of breaking the mold, you know, instead of having these 1-hour long or 2-hour long, like crazy long videos that a lot of people were used to.
Yeah.
You know, you could have just like segments, you know?
Yeah. Offshoots, and I got incredibly bullied.
Like, still like sophomore year of high school, so it's just everybody, especially because you're in a small town like we
grew up, like
redacted.
Like horribly bullied about it, like still messes with me to this day.
Small town studying was not very kind.
So I abandoned that and kind of abandoned it all really until like senior year of high school, and we decided we were going to try and do band stuff. Got bullied for that too.
Every band kid got bullied all the time.
It was bad. No, not band kid, like Brass Knives band.
Oh yeah,
I got bullied. Nobody else did.
We tried doing a garage band, and Caleb was the most vocal. He was the spokesperson of the band, so he got he heard the brunt of it.
That's why the Brass Knives are no longer a thing.
Check out JJ and Bagman though.
JJ and Bagman.
Come out 2069.
Never. Eventually I start playing Warzone with the boys on PlayStation 4. And I was like, we were gonna get into doing tournament stuff, and I still want to do tournament stuff. I just don't have a good team to play with.
We keep saying we need to get back into practicing so we can do that.
But in order to do like competition, one person would have to stream. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. Like, I'll do it. I'll be the one that does the streams and stuff. And sorry, my cord was gonna be crazy. So I was like, you know what? Like, I'll be the one that like does the streaming and stuff. Because I had the better internet. So I was like, you know, I'll do the stream. So I was like, one day I started testing it out. I think it was October of last year.
Did you already have your computer then?
October? No.
No. You got the computer to start streaming, or were you streaming on PS4?
No, I was streaming on PS4, like on PS4's like native streaming
service. Oh, right, because I had like that. Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Stream to Twitch and everything. I just use all of like the PlayStation.
Yeah, sign in through Twitch software. There, and it was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not any layout options or anything, just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have a webcam?
Nope.
Yeah, just.
Nope.
Just the game.
They recorded off of audio from this headset right here, the Stealth 600. Turtle Beach.
And its microphone. Turtle Beach microphone.
So I started streaming, and then, like, one or two streams in, we got, like, a couple of viewers, actually. Like, I think it was, like, two or three viewers, and they, like, stayed for most of the time, and I was kind of like,
oh. Okay. And at the time, I think it was still early on, so it wasn't, like, friends or, like, people that you had been telling or whatever.
It yeah, just, so it's random, so yeah. Scrolling.
It's like, oh, you actually like get views.
Like, yeah, I got like some people were like chatting and stuff, and I was like, hey, that's kind of cool. So I was like, you know what, maybe I'll do this more. So I did. And eventually, sorry, mouth dry. Eventually I got this PC. God, I mean, I built this PC. Mm-hmm. Got the parts for the PC, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna start streaming on here. Instead of the PlayStation, because the PlayStation streaming software is hot garbage.
It's spectacular. It's passable in 2014, but
yeah. So I started streaming on Streamlabs, and then eventually I switched to OBS, which is what I use now. And kept going. I think we hit. I think I got an affiliate status in February.
Yeah.
I feel like that was too late.
I think it was sometime last year, late last year.
Because I don't think it was before Christmas.
I think it might have been. We were planning on doing our music stuff, like, November.
Yeah, 12-3.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't February. I'm my bad.
No, 12-3. Like, oh, December 3rd.
Before Christmas. Okay, yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, so I became an affiliate December 3rd of 2020. It's pretty epic time. We got a lot of people to kind of converge and like really like help support the stream and get to mm-hmm. the average of three viewers. It's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I had the followers, and I had like the amount of like streams required to be considered active enough to be an affiliate. And the last thing to come was the average viewer count. But luckily at that point, we started building like this really, really cool community with people like Illumin Sanzi, who's an admin on our Discord.
Yeah.
A couple of his friends, and then his friends had other friends that came in, and
mm-hmm.
we attracted some randoms.
Hooked up with Andy, like
Andy, yes.
And got, you know, started getting views from his guys and collaborating with him and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, and then we hit that affiliate status. It was pretty cool. We had a really good couple weeks of like celebrating and stuff. I did.
We always say we because we're such homies. Now that we live together too, we can't help but feel like it's like a collaborative effort. But he's the one on the camera. This is the only time I'm on camera.
And then I did a Christmas giveaway. I gave away some Amazon gift cards and dressed up like an elf on screen. It was pretty epic. And then after that, we kind of had like this dark period, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it a dark period because I still like had fun streaming and stuff, but it was kind of like, I think most of the time it was just one viewer. And if that, it was no viewers because Casey was too busy to turn on the stream.
Yeah. You know, I would usually be there, but like if we were playing a game together or if maybe I was out for that night, you know, had to go to bed early or something, like. It was just no one viewer, no viewers for a while.
Yeah.
It was really weird because it was so exciting getting to affiliate status and like kind of having this hype of like, wow, we're really getting a good group of people to watch this thing. and then suddenly it just dropped off.
Yeah.
Even like Minecraft videos dropped off. And those are always
Minecraft's
really
always like pretty popular on the stream. That's mainly what really got the stream going is Minecraft.
Yeah. There's a reason why we're good buddies with Lumen Sansi.
Yeah. Loves Minecraft.
Yeah.
So yeah, we kind of hit like that low point where it was really hard to get people to come to the stream. It was hard to get new viewers and stuff. I don't know what happened. It was weird. And then just one day it just decided to not be like that anymore.
I think there was just one Minecraft stream that just hit for some reason. For some reason people started coming in. It's like that scene in like The Founder. You ever seen The Founder?
No.
It's a movie starring Michael Keaton. It's about Ray Kroc, the guy who like made McDonald's into a franchise.
Right.
And they tell the story about how like the very first McDonald's they thought they were gonna have to shut down.
Yeah.
It's only one day, just kids started flooding the damn store.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And that's literally what happened that night on Minecraft Monday.
Yeah. It was just one day everybody kinda decided to come to the stream, and then ever since then it's always been around like 4 or 5 viewers. Sometimes we'll have 7.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting new followers. Not every day, but at least like 1 or 2 a week, which is pretty cool. So we're still consistently,
it's fine. We've done it the whole time.
The stream is still consistently growing. It's slow, but still consistently growing. And I'd rather it be slow and consistent with active people than a lot of people all at one time and then nobody contributes, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It feels a lot more personal when you have.
I don't want to be like one of these streamers that has like 800 followers and then one average viewer, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I'd rather the people that follow be genuine and enjoy the content that I create.
Yeah.
So yeah, that kind of picks up to where we are now. Having a good time. We actually moved into an apartment. I got out of my parents' house, so streaming content's been able to evolve and grow how it needs to.
Yeah, you can play as late as you want. You don't have to worry about noise.
No noise complaints from the parents.
You know, get a guest appearance from JJ every now and then.
Yeah. So yeah, that's about where we are now, and that's...
I mean, you know, the stream's doing fine, you know, not as hype as, you know, sometimes we have some really good streams where we're, like, at 7 to 10 viewers or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, or we peak out at 11, like, on Monday night. For the most part, it's pretty chill, but sometimes there are some really good streams.
Yeah.
Been saying that's solid. I think we're at, like, I think you're at, like, 148 subscribers, 148 or something.
I should know this off the top.
it's not increasing as rapidly, but still coming up, and yeah, it's exciting. It's going well right now.
146.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're at 146 followers. So that's kind of a shout out to everybody in the community that's watching this. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you and I appreciate your contributions. Thank you for supporting the podcast.
Yeah.
We're at the podcast actually doing pretty decent. I'm not even gonna lie.
People in Canada like listening to us. It's kind of weird.
Somebody from Belarus listened. That was kind of cool.
I think it's all the name. I think really struggled with that name.
Jason thought Belarus was a person, not a country.
He's like, Belarus is watching us. I'm like, who the fuck's Bella?
Yeah, that's where the stream is now. So that's all I really have for that segment. So
yeah, fair enough.
I mean, fair enough. Belarus. So, Jason, what do you have to talk about today?
I was kind of thinking about doing another mental health corner episode, but doing good today. So I wasn't dreading the... Yeah. Hang.
But happy.
Hang. Yeah. I mean, I guess I can give like an update. Doing fine. We're looking forward to doing the podcast today, so that was really nice. So I was thinking we could talk about some more pop culture stuff. You know, you get to talk about your Cardinals and stuff, so I kind of want to find something that can center more of my episodes around, or my parts in the episodes around. I think I'm rambling a little bit too
You're
much.
Fine.
But yeah, I want to talk about some music stuff. I'm thinking about, since this is a band like you're getting into more recently, and a band I've been listening to for a long time, I want to talk about My Chemical Romance.
Woo!
Yeah!
Let's be emo!
Yeah. Woo! Let me get the Monica.
No, Monica doesn't pick up on the mic for some reason.
Fuck! Yeah, I just wanted to talk. I feel like, especially since I'm into them so much and you're now starting to get into them, you listen to Black Parade and like really fell in love with that one.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting to be able to talk about this and have a common ground on it. Because I guess, if you don't mind me talking for you. Like your past idea of them was like, oh, well, you know, the generic emo band, you know, what do you think of when you think of edgy 18-year-old or 8th graders? Like,
yeah. I mean, I still have that opinion of them.
But, oh, yeah, for sure.
But I enjoy them now.
Yeah, the reputation of, like, Gerard's face. I'm going to have a fun topic.
A face with Gerard's face.
Right, yeah, right. Hold up.
It's our buddy Gerard.
Oh, dude. Sorry, I'm going to shop it right there. I'm going to be the new thumbnail. There we go.
Put your hand back up here. There we go. For our audio listener, we just held our hands up. We're going to display our friend Gerard. Gerard face.
Gerard Way's voice is very operatic, and he's very jarring, at least. It's not very, accessible, I guess. I think.
Come all to this tragic affair. Yes.
So bad. But, yeah, the reputation with, his voice and the emo scene and, you know, they're very gothic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just that reputation of, who people think they are without realizing they're actually a great band who makes really great music. You know, just almost kind of want to run through the discography, talk about the positives of each album, what they mean to us and to, the music scene, I guess. I want to start with, the first album I brought You My Bullets, but I haven't listened to it. I really like My Chemical Romance, but for some reason I just haven't heard it yet. I've heard Demolition Lovers, that's a really popular one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, don't know a whole lot about it. So I'll jump into Three Cheers, which I think it was their first major label, if I remember correctly. With
Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge.
Three Cheers
for those that don't know MCR.
Get out. You gotta know more. You gotta be up to game.
That's the prerequisite for listening to this podcast.
Yeah, if you're, we'll put a timestamp for you to skip all this shit if you're not into My Chemical Romance. But Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, you know, it's a very thrashy, punky. It's not like Welcome to Black Parade or any of those. It probably resembles teenagers most if you're talking about the more popular stuff.
Right.
It has songs like Helena and I'm Not Okay and stuff, you know, so songs that really did break through the mold.
I'm not okay.
That's the cold open.
Yeah.
with Three Cheers, I really like it. I really like the concept behind it, how it was it's not a heavy concept album, kind of like how Black Parade is, but you still get this story behind it, if you want to look into it. And then you have some outliers, I'm Not Okay, and, you know, some songs that relate more to personal stuff or romance or more generalized topics.
Yeah.
But I think it's super, not underrated, because I know it gets a lot of praise, especially from the fans, but I feel like, especially because it was a concept album that came out before Black Parade, and it is so, I don't know, energetic. I really love the punk spirit behind it. I wish it was talked about a little bit more generally. I feel like Black Parade gets a lot of hype.
Yeah.
And this one gets under-talked about. But I really like it. I know you haven't listened to much of it.
No, I listened to all of it.
Right. But not consciously. Yeah. So.
You put a genius link in here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we can actually.
Did you want me to click on that?
Oh, yeah. We can click on that, actually. I'm really close to the mic now.
We're getting intimate right now.
Yeah.
It's getting intimate right close to the mic.
Yeah, so I think I'll put right here, and I'm just reading off it. You know, it's just stuff about how George's talking about, you know, how this album was the band finding themselves, finding their sound, you know, talking about the pseudo-conceptual horror story, as he called it, where it's talking about, you know, someone who dies, makes a deal with the devil. If he brings in the souls of 1,000 evil men, his life will be restored and he'll be reunited with his love. Just really cool gothic imagery and stuff, you know. And when you get that sense of what's behind it and what's motivating the stories and the lyrics, you know, it's oh shit, this is really fucking, it's a little bit edgy, but it's kind of tight.
My big takeaway is I love the album cover, insert album cover. Right here, right on top of my hand. album covers on both your hands.
Yeah, right here will be the explosion, and then right above me will be. But yeah,
that was my tangent.
Yeah, you know. Moving on to the more talk about one, the Black Parade. I have it on the second page over here. It's a rock opera.
Move it?
No, I'm just fucking with you.
Oh, okay. It's a pretty big screen.
It's a rock opera. Delves more into the concept than Three Cheers did, where it talks about the cancer patient and his relationship with his mother and the people he loves and talking about his cancer literally in a song called, what was it called?
Cancer.
Cancer. There we go. And the concept is super cool. I think we both agree that it's really like one of the more modern classics.
Yeah.
Like, if you want, I'll just talk about it because I know you really like it.
Yeah. So, The Black Parade, very
prolific.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. It's like the album that everybody knows, and you either know it and have listened to it, or you know it and haven't listened to it. Like, even before I listened to MCR, like, I knew The Black Parade was like the magnum opus of the band. You know?
Everybody knows that opening G note. Like, everybody knows that opening piano line. Even if you haven't heard, even if you're not in the emo scene or have listened to anything else by him, or even like the rest of that song, you know that intro.
I don't have perfect pitch, but I can just hear that note in my head every single time I think of it. Just
whenever I do my third string on my guitar.
Is that how you remember it? That's a good idea, actually. Hang on.
I'm just kidding. I don't have that good of an ear. But,
but yeah, it's like the band's magnum opus.
Yeah.
Is it Magna or Magnum?
Magnum.
Magnum opus.
Monster condom for my magnum dong.
Yeah, it's like the magnum opus of the band. So everybody like knows that, like, of the album's existence. And I finally gave it a shot. I just one day was talking to Jason and our friend David, who runs the critically acclaimed Jam podcast.
guest starring Jason and Caleb on the episode for Pinkerton by Weezer. Coming out in 3 years.
And it was I gave it a shot because they were both raving about it, and I've always been like, I know I need to listen to it before I have a super solid opinion on it.
Yeah, because you kind of fell into the camp of like, it's fucking emo music.
It's kitschy.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
So I'm at the laundromat, I have my AirPods in, and I'm just kind of sitting there watching my clothes turn in a circle, and I'm like, that's a treat for the video watchers.
You know what? This album probably slaps.
So I put my AirPods in, I'm watching my laundry, and I just turn on the album. I even put the noise canceling on because I got the AirPod Pros, you know. I know, I'm so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Fucking rich boy, okay.
I got the AirPod Pro, so put on the noise canceling. I kind of just go into just focus mode and listen to the album.
Just Fantano the fuck out of this album. Like, yeah. Just
critical thinking. I loved it. I think that there were a couple songs I wasn't too hot on the first time I listened to it. I'm just going to pull up the album right now just so I can
I think, install. If I can... Well,
my Spotify.
Now we're here.
Spotify.
Fucking great intro with the end, and like how it starts with like the monitor or whatever, and then with Dead, like it opens up that flat line and blows up into this crazy cool guitar solo. I really like, you know, the next few tracks, This High Disappear and The Sharpest Lies, are like standard. I feel like they're probably a bit more into like, you know, this would be what a normal album would sound like by MCR. Yeah. Right. They weren't exploring so many different themes and stuff. This sounds like they could belong on a Three Cheers or something else.
Yeah. So like the songs, like I slept on, I was looking at sleep. like a couple of the songs that I slept on, and I skipped them every time it came on was like Sleep and Disenchanted. Mm-hmm. That for some reason they just didn't hit with me when I first listened to it.
I think it's because they're like the mid-tempo, like the harder jams, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I don't love, how do you feel about I Don't Love You? They're falling into that same
camp. Lovely. Mm-hmm. I love that song.
I think the lyrics hit a little bit harder for that one. Like, it's a little bit more somber, so you kind of get more of a vibe for it. You can appreciate it more on first listen.
Yeah,
for Sleep and Disenchanted, I feel like those grow on people usually. You know what I'm talking about?
Why did my chat change? Did you see that? It, like, updated. It says new.
Wait a minute, are we streaming right now?
So I had to double check. I'm like, wait, huh? So yeah, I gave it a listen. I enjoyed it. Wasn't too keen on Sleep and Disenchanted, but loved everything else. And now I listen to it every day.
Yeah.
I can't listen to anything else for some reason.
That's how I was for a while, too, man. Like Cancer and Mama and just the more experimental and like somber ones. I've loved like the Liza Minnelli feature and how twisted Mama is, and Cancer is so like stripped down and beautiful. It's fucking insane how good it is. Welcome to Black Parade is like literally epic and the most literal, like, not Fortnite epic, but epic. Teenagers is a banger. Like, it's all Famous Last Words is so anthemic. It just every track on it's a hit.
And it really has that air about it because it takes so much inspiration from things like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
And The Wall by Pink Floyd and all of that. Yeah. It's a super solid rock opera. And I feel like it portrays the inspirations from those two albums like really, really well, but in a mid-2000s format.
It's better than American Idiot.
Whoa.
I'm not wearing
a 3-day shirt too. So yeah, it definitely has like a certain epic sort of air about it. Like, feel like it's in the same room of Beowulf when it comes to epics, you know?
Yeah, like the shitty read in like senior year.
Yeah.
And I agree. You know, I've gotten talked about each track and how like really significant. I actually really like Sleep and Disenchanted, which I think is funny. Yeah. Those are the ones that resonate with me.
I do now, though. I like them.
Yeah, those resonate with me the most. I Don't Love You, of course, is one of my favorites too. The more somber ones.
Yeah.
And like with how acclaimed it wasn't like, you know, I feel like a lot of people like Caleb kind of fall back or like rediscover this album and like hear it and like, oh shit, this actually is really good. Like MTR isn't just the emo band. But even back then, especially in that scene and like even critically, I think, you know, they had a lot. There was a lot behind this album. You know, it went gold or some shit. Don't fact check me on that. But, you know, it's super critically acclaimed and it has this, you know, what we say about it isn't just us. It's like, why are they considered to be the classic?
We're not adding anything to the conversation.
Yeah, we're just talking same talking points.
Yeah, we're just reinstating everything that literally anybody else has reviewed this album has said.
The tagline for the Just Another White Dude podcast is regurgitating
information, not contributing anything.
We're actually renaming the podcast to Regurgitate.
That's a good one. It's like the cold open of me throwing up earlier.
That cold open of anyway, the next album that ended up coming out was Danger Days. I think they did a couple things in between there. There was
you play me an MCR song.
Thank you for the Venom.
Yeah.
I don't know that one. Helena, what the fuck is that?
All right.
Song.
Yeah, as you're saying, sorry.
No, you're fine. I think in between this and Danger Days, they did like Black Parade is Dead, pretty good live album. I think they probably did some other. Every Snowflake is Different off of Yo Gabba Gabba. But then Danger Days came out, I think, 2009, I think.
Shoot, I don't know.
Forever ago. Or maybe somewhere between 2009 and 2011.
I hate that that's considered forever ago.
Right, it's 2021, dude. It's at least 10 years old, which is insane. It's a much more poppy album. It kind of like, I don't know. It's interesting to see like with the big three, with like Three Cheers, Black Parade, and Danger Days, how they're all so different in their sounds and their general vibe. This one's a lot more poppy. There's a lot more synths and like, you know, bigger production, stuff that you could here on the radio if it wasn't Gerard Way singing it. And its reception, like, I think a lot of people were just very weirded out by it. It was very jarring to hear them in this very poppy, anthemic, no, kind of sound.
Stadium rock.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, we'll get into our opinions more about it and what I think about it later. It was another concept album, which is really tight. Like, the fact that they did three fucking concept albums. You know, this one's, the story around it's a little bit different. It's not as tightly knit as the Black Parade, but it's not quite as loose as Three Cheers was. It's also tied into like this comic book series, which is really weird. There's a whole extended lore to it, which is actually really nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. The music videos give you a lot of story, and the comics that Gerard Way was doing with Warner Brothers, I think, at the time. I don't know. I think for me, I know you haven't listened to it yet, but I think the poppy sound, because you hear like Na 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 or Bulletproof Heart or whatever the other singles are. And I feel like that poppy sound actually fits really well into it. It kind of gives you like the juxtaposition of Gerard Way's voice and the poppy sounds. And I think it's really cool how those work together.
Yeah.
You still get the shredding from Ray Toro. And, like, you know, there's a lot of bangers and is a lot more emotional cuts, I feel like. I feel like even though they're like pop songs and they're anthemic or whatever, and The Only Hope for Me Is You with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot more heartfelt and romantic, and you know, I love how it ties into the story. I don't know if you have any thoughts besides like the one or two songs you've heard, but
I've literally only heard No No No.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. I like the album cover.
Yeah. Cool. Once again, they're killing it with the album covers.
They have all of their album covers are
except for that first album where it's just like purple and orange. And
yeah. Yeah, I mean, once I give it a listen, I'll probably have more opinions on it. But
okay, revisit it.
You and I tend to have pretty similar like likes. Yeah. I can say we have similar tastes because you and I listen to different music.
But everything but, like, that you like, I like.
Yeah. So I'm sure it's an album that I'll enjoy, and I'm sure it's an album that the listeners and viewers would enjoy too.
I know there's an MCR fan out there.
Yeah.
Salute you. And then there's the other music. There's that first album that we haven't listened to. There's the live stuff with Black Parade. Black Parade is Dead. The Benghazi, like, I think it was a DVD release or something.
Okay.
They have, like, this show at the Reading Festival in 2011. Like, right after Danger Days was released. You can see Gerard with, like, the red hair and the jumpsuit.
Yeah.
The caught his shit. And you get to hear, like, all these really cool live renditions of the Danger Days songs. Then there's Fake Your Death off of, you know, there's, like, demos and a bunch of stuff's been released after the band's broken up.
Mm-hmm.
Conventional Weapons, EPs. You know, a lot of stuff that I can't really get, I don't know a lot about, but I want to mention. And then, you know, you get to like their breakup in 2013, and like, it was like, I feel like there's always like that band in a generation where like you hear them break up and you're like, oh shit. Yeah. for emo kids and like for the gang that I ran with in eighth grade,
yeah.
This was like the Beatles breaking up.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, I can't help. They were a band for 11 or like 12 years, like 2001, 2013, and they made literally banger after banger after banger.
They did like, not make a bad album.
Yeah, like their worst song ever is way better than some band's best songs.
Yeah.
Like it's insane. They made a perfect discography and they toured as much as they did. You know, they had like three or four different drummers. Like,
yeah,
they made such prolific work. I feel like. You know, like, they had to have been exhausted.
Yeah.
You made fucking three concept albums.
It's like, I tried to make, like, one not concept album, and I was ready to...
I can't write a song.
I could not imagine writing three concept albums, making them coherent, not making them just sound super campy or cheesy.
Yeah, you know. Like, you know, every single one you made was, like, The Who's Tommy. Or a Pink Floyd, like, The Wall.
Yeah.
And you didn't make one 21st Century Breakdown. Like, dude, good job. That's so fucking... That's so mean. I love Green Day. I like that album.
Revolution Radio.
I'm not wearing it. Fuck Green Day. American Idiot sucks. I'm just trying to...
Jason's actually wearing a t-shirt that says Green Day sucks, has never been good, and I hate Green Day so much, I wish they would die.
And on the back, it says, fuck Billy Joe Armstrong. Anyway, the breakup was a really big deal, but at the same time, like, I don't blame them. They made, you know, so much great work. I feel like they had the right to be tired and want to move on with their lives.
Right.
Gerard Way, fucking, you know, just dealing with drug abuse and being alcoholic and anorexia and stuff. Like, he going through, you know, his own shit. They kind of needed time to split up, do their own music, do something that's not so big, I guess.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term, we're kind of brain dead. But the reunion that came up in 2019, I remember it was one of those things where I saw it on Twitter. I think I got like a screenshot from a friend saying like MCR is coming back. And I'm like, that has to be fake. And they're like, no, like it's on Twitter.
You see the blue check mark?
Yeah, like... it's on Twitter's homepage. Like, not, it's not a rumor. It's confirmed.
Wow.
And it was just, yeah, it was insane the hype surrounded. I couldn't believe that they actually got back together.
Yeah.
It was nuts. And like the 2020 tour ended up being canceled because of COVID and the Backstreet Boys reunion tour.
Really?
What's COVID? What's the Backstreet Boys? I'm really excited for like the 2021 shows. Hope I can go see one. Just can't imagine how fucking
there's insane. Not any in Columbus.
There's not, but I'm willing to make a trip. I'm ready to do a travel.
I will produce a travel.
I will get really big and then just talk over there.
Stupid. You're stupid.
Ride some, ride some cars with some roller skates. Let's get it going. Yeah, but that's all I want to talk about MCR. That's all I want to talk about as we talk for 45 minutes.
So yeah, that's all we really got for the podcast today.
Solid, probably 120. Oh, well, I guess we're heading down a lot.
Yeah, we're gonna head down a lot. But yeah, this was the podcast today. So I thank you all for listening. If you are on the listening platform such as Spotify, Amazon, soon to be Apple Music, and Google Podcast.
Yeah, and if you're watching on the video, if you're watching the VOD,
This will be considered a video, not a VOD.
Yeah. I mean, technically, all videos.
VOD's a Twitch thing.
Technically, all videos are VODs.
Yeah, it's a video on demand.
But regardless, if you like the video format, if you're watching on YouTube or wherever, I think just YouTube. But if you're watching us on YouTube,
where else would we put it?
Vimeo.
Pornhub.
Welcome back to the White. That's not the White View podcast. yeah, if you like the video format, let us know. If I look like a robot doesn't know how to talk in front of the camera, it's because I am. Yeah.
You get used to it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we're still warming up, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a good podcast.
Yeah.
I like what we're talking about.
So if you haven't already, make sure you follow all of our socials. I got a Twitter, Instagram, and a TikTok. You can find that all on our Discord server if you haven't joined yet.
We'll put the links in the description, put links in like the comments, wherever we're putting this.
And just audibly. I don't know. For the audio listeners, you can find everything on my Instagram, ttv.xxross42. There will be a link tree in the description. You can find that there. I think my Twitter handle is just xxross42 without the TTV, and my TikTok is ttv.xxross42. So you can find all of the links and stuff on all of those socials. What are your socials, Jason? Where can people find you?
I talk really fast on Instagram. Talks really fast on Twitter. Find me on I think HoboGrunt, #0134 on Discord. That's really personal. I'm just gonna get like friend requests, like some dude in Canada.
Canada. I feel like we need to establish we know it's not pronounced Canada.
I just like saying
Canada. We like saying Canada. Sorry, Trey.
But yeah, I mean, we'll probably throw some. You can find mine in like the Discord, or you know, we'll put some links down there or something.
Yeah, for sure. So make sure you come back next week. These will be released on Wednesday at 10 in the morning. So make sure you come back next week for the next podcast. Other than that.